So when you were thinking about that thing that we started with, when you were thinking about what is the definition of the gospel, and then what is discipleship, what did you come up with? What is the gospel? I'm not going to ask, actually do care to hear what you have to say, but what I'm going to ask is that in light of what the definitions you chose that you would run with, let's look at a bit of scripture. And then let's see how our answers stand after we've looked at this bit of scripture. So I want to ask you to turn to 1 Peter, and we'll start in chapter 1. So the letter of Peter in the Bible, the first one. All right, so you get past 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus and Hebrews and past James, and then you're into 1 Peter. Always be brave and look at the table of contents if you can't find a book. There are some minor prophets that tend to stick together in many Bibles. But when we're in 1 Peter, and if we start at verse 14, you'll see what's written there. 1 Peter 14 begins, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But he who called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" He's quoting Leviticus as he makes that point. "And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever." Peter tells us, quoting Isaiah chapter 40. "And this Word is the good news that was preached to you." So there's what he has to say there about this and that. There is, in the finish there, I think you can recognize this word is the good news that was preached to you. And maybe you'll recall from plenty of other sermons that that gospel means good news. And so what Peter is saying to the people he's writing to Christians who are spread out throughout the world, right? The elect who are dispersed throughout, is you heard this message and you believe this message, so you live differently. And he uses words like obedient, be holy, conduct yourselves with fear. And, you know, I grew up as a kid with the picture of God who was Zeus with a lightning bolt waiting for me to step out of line and just, you know, almost punishment for not yielding. I thought obedience was like a dog in obedience school, where it was like stick till you start doing it when you're told, you know. And I don't understand it that way anymore. And I don't think that we preach that way in here. So, you know, The word fear, I mean, Scripture says fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? But nobody in here as a parent would have their children be afraid of them to the point where they wouldn't come to them, you see. But there is something about a parent teaching a child and the Lord leading us as a flock that there is an element of fear. People who don't like the word fear will interpret as reverence, and so we will think about ourselves respectfully paying homage to the Lord, and rather than fear, we'll say with reverence. But there is a healthy respect for the consequences of sin That if we don't follow God and it is sin, that there's a fearfulness involved because sin leads to death. We appreciate the strength of the electric current that we have, don't we? And we would never strip off the plastic from the wires and touch the copper. There's fear of that sort of voltage. And to mess with things in an inappropriate way, not in the order with which it is useful and profitable, but to dabble with the way things could be if I just do it a different way than the way I'm supposed to. Well, we would say that was fear when you're talking about electricity, right? But if it was sin and death, if it was, I think I'll just, you know, live with my girlfriend, not be married, and I'll call that my partner. Why can't I do that? There's no fear of God involved in fornication in our community outside of this room, but often inside the church. Fornication is something of this unspoken private life that isn't addressed. Fear of the Lord isn't something that we want to deal with. And I'm not up here to pound my fist and say, what we need is a good dose of fear of God again. You know, I don't know why I always turn into a Southern Baptist when you do the Bible preaching fist poundy part. Be holy. Be holy. I think holy means perfect. So be perfect. You know, I don't think anybody's ever told me, you must never sin again. I believe that Scripture tells me, never sin, period. And Peter is saying, be holy like God's holy. So it is the goal that I think frequently confronts our failure. And me admitting failure isn't permission to fail. When I stand up here, someone mentioned to me a week ago they noticed that I frequently mention my perception of myself as sort of prayerless in seasons. And I responded to the person, you know, actually, I think what would be a more fair characterization is that in my relationship with God, I realize that I need more prayerful relationship with God. Not that there is an absence of prayer, but when I say prayerlessness, I mean I don't come to God as often as I could. And so I view the time spent as less than what could have. So holiness, whatever it is, you doing everything right, you saying everything right, you always thinking about God, you never sinning, right? That's hard. And it's my goal. So what, do we walk around as sort of unrealized, frustrated, beaten down people who aren't good enough? That can't possibly be the message. Can't possibly be the message. God came to people who were not enough, clearly. Jesus Christ took people by the hand who were not enough, people who were unclean. And the holiness and the goodness of God makes the unclean to be clean. The perfection of Jesus Christ's life on the earth and his death in the place of those who deserve death for sin transforms us so that we are viewed righteous. We are justified. God looks at us and says, in Christ, you are accepted. And these are the things that Scripture teaches us. So you get a guy in the room and he's got a sermon prepared and you faithfully listen and the Word of God, mostly the Word of God, is coming out and the point is, whew, I'm saved from the consequences of not being with God. I'm saved from the ugliness that is all the things in this world that are unholy. God is only counting the good and the right and the just toward me because of his Son. Between here and meeting him face to face, when I will be saved, I am being saved in this world. My salvation is becoming manifest. I am drawing near to the Lord. Here he's drawing near to me. I'm changed because of his Word. Because of hearing what it says and trying to live it out, I'm different and changed by it. And getting there. And that's the message that I'm bringing this morning about the gospel. The gospel.